I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Yes, quite the case.
Indeed. No Jay Cross this week. He is out at some sort of trade show or something like that, doing official Fender business or something of that ilk with headphones and
Where
stuff.
Where is he?
He's at
Berlin.
Berlin, IFA.
Berlin.
The trade
he's
show.
He's doing ether in Berlin.
He's absolutely not. And we must, for the sake of his career, say that he is definitely at IFA and not doing ether.
Right.
But, you know, he might be doing either, but one of them, we'd know. He's not.
Maybe he's doing, he could be doing both, I suppose, and that might be making more fun.
It's worth trying.
Let's just, for the sake of Jay's professional career, he's at IFA, the German trade show, and not doing high-strength, huffable drugs. that's right, isn't it? Joe, you probably know that.
Yes, you do. Huff ether. Indeed. But it is hard to get hold of these days.
I've never tried. So
but it's not Victorian times, so I guess.
Indeed. Oh, I think you're thinking snuff, aren't you, Matty?
No, I'm sure I'm thinking of ether.
Maybe. I don't know the history.
Quite a turn.
Guitars and that. I think the reason that this has already gone off the rails is because we've all been super busy and there's actually quite a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Matty, you again have been super busy working on this Boss event that's coming up, this Boss Museum, as it were. What, we T-minus 4 days or something?
Oh, God!
Is everything in place?
I think so. I'm down to the nitty gritty on my to-do list. So it's just a couple of things like guest list. Like, I'm sure I'm missing like 3 people off the guest list.
Could it be? Please don't, because I'm going to travel up to that London. You know how much I hate traveling up to that
you
London.
You hate the London.
It's the worst city in the world.
Oh, shut up! It's the best city.
And I've been to Leicester. It's unbelievable.
Leicester's not that bad. Leicester's okay.
London's worse.
Leicester's not Hull.
That is true, actually. Yeah. No, London's the worst city I've ever been to. It's ridiculous. I'm looking forward to that, Matty. Obviously not travelling up there, but I'm looking forward to seeing you and a whole plethora of Boss things.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, what is the rarest thing that's in this like pop-up Boss museum?
Okay, so there's a couple things. The Boss B100 acoustic preamp, which was the first ever product to feature the Boss logo on it.
Okay.
I saw it in the Boss book when I bought the book when I was a kid, and I was like, probably never see one of those. Never ever seen one online. And there was one in the museum which was donated by someone who found one like 10 years ago and donated it to the Roland Museum.
Nice.
So that's pretty rare. The Roland DM1 delay unit. Which is the original analog delay in its original box. We thought that was pretty cool.
Sweet.
Considering that's 41 years old and it's still got the original box. But my favourite piece, one of them, is the Roland SCC-700 sound computer.
It's a classic.
Which was basically the first ever switching system. So it's got like 8 spaces for pedals that bolt onto a massive pedal board. Like, they actually, you bolt the Boss pedals onto the board, and then there's 2 fixed plugs, and then there's an actual little computer on the side that you can then program the signal path of the pedal chain, and then you get an external foot controller to control it all with.
Is that
considering it came out in like 1981? It's pretty bonkers.
So that's, I was going to ask if it's pre-MIDI, but I guess probably not at that point, because MIDI,
it is pre-MIDI.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It runs on a Roland 24-pin cable.
Sweet.
Which we had to find, because the last one that went on eBay went for £500.
Whoa, so, easy.
I know, a 24-pin cable. Because they just, when that technology went out of favor and then those cables kind of just weren't needed and then people threw them away and we're like, oh, I've got this new 13-pin MIDI cable or GK cable. So yeah, it actually runs on a 24-pin cable. So yes, pre-MIDI. There's loads of synth stuff there that's pre-MIDI. Loads of awesome like analog synthesizers.
Something that we're going to talk about. Something that we're going to talk about in the Patreon this week is the top five weirdest guitars from the 70s. And in my research, that's a video that we did recently on the YouTube channel. In my research for that, I had to do quite a lot of reading about the Roland 24-pin. But we won't spoil anything. We'll talk about that more in the Patreon episode. Matt, just one last thing: is that stuff going to be behind glass, or is it going to be? Are people going to be able to touch it, or is it like on the table, no touching?
Technically, people will be able to touch it, but we'd appreciate if they didn't.
Okay, good to know.
No, we thought the best way to actually do the guitars was slat wall. It was like the best way to kind of do it. So we've got this like brilliant white slat wall, and we've kind of got all these guitar mounts on there. But we go in on Wednesday to start building it. So maybe I'll share a few sneak snaps on the old Guitar Nerds page.
Nice. Just because obviously, you know, people will say you started this podcast with a big boss ad. Let's not go on about it too much, but just give us the quick rundown again of where and when people can find it.
If you head to houseofvans.com, I think it's all House of Vans London, if you search for that, all the info's on there. It's underneath Waterloo Station. Runs for basically 10 days, doing a whole load of workshops and pop-up Roland Museum celebrating 40 years of Boss history.
Nice. And we're going to be there on Friday and Saturday, Friday. Is that right?
Which unfortunately most people can't come to, because that is invite only.
Basically, but you can come. I said I don't want to go on the day with all the general public, because you know I don't want them touching me and stuff. So I'm coming on the Friday.
Like being around people.
I mean, you're going to be there on Saturday when people can be there.
But I'm
only going on the Friday because I don't want you touching me or anything like that. But, you know, if you see one of us in the street, someone thought they saw you in a coffee shop recently, Matt. And it was not you, which was a shame.
Like great Shaggy. Story, though.
Yeah, it was a great story. They thought, because we think we know who it was, which is what makes it fun. Anything else, Matthew? Have you just been fully into that?
I worked until 11 p.m. every night last week.
Nice. Any how are the preparations for Japan going? Or are you?
I'm trying not to think about it. T-minus
20 days, 18 days,
like 18 days, 17 days.
I mean, you're going at the right time, just for the impending nuclear war. So.
Well, it's all right. They'll fly over.
Yeah, they all have done so far. Let's bank on that. Joey B, you've also had an exciting week.
Yes.
You've not been boozing, which has been good.
No, I came off the booze.
Until yesterday
when I epically failed at coming off the booze.
You went to a Yamaha event yesterday.
That's right, yes. I went to a Yamaha UK event up in Milton Keynes at the Yamaha...
Milton Keynes.
Warehouse. It was not guitar related. It was the Yamaha Classic Division, which is the division that deals with their pianos, their digital pianos and their keyboards. Not to be confused with Yamaha Pro Division, which deals with their synthesizers, just in case.
So you're Classic Pro and then Guitar.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Guitar Works, I think it is.
Okay. So what's going on in the Classic world?
Well, it was actually really interesting. They were launching a new range of digital pianos, basically with a ton of enhanced features and their new sort of top of the range or sort of mid-level couple of grand digital piano.
Oh yeah, just mid-level.
Yeah, well, it now comes with all this. It basically comes with an additional app which allows you to...
I love apps.
It allows you to play any song from your iTunes library into the app, and it will tab it, chord it, and it can find the melody and delete that if you want.
Is it doing it from? Is it pulling it from a database in some way?
No, straight off of iTunes.
No. But how is it finding the chords and stuff? Is it just
it works
assessing
them out.
The?
Yeah,
really?
It assesses them, and then you can not only that, but you can rework it so it can play back the actual song with the tablature for you to play along to.
Okay.
Which it will give you a lit note guide on the keyboards, but you can also rearrange it. You can pick styles and change tempos. You can change the key.
I just want to see someone put in some like agoraphobic nosebleed into the piano and just see what it turns out.
I said they said the only problem is that it will deal with any time signature up to 6.
And you were like, that useless.
7 is the ultimate time signature. But that was really, really interesting. A great sort of, you know, way to sort of learn piano and to be able to do sort of, they're basically, their whole aim was, isn't learning piano dull? And they're trying to find a way of making it exciting and easy.
One of them's got a built-in webcam.
That was something separate. I put some videos on my Instagram channel of some of the other sessions we had for their budget keyboards, and the guy leading the training was the most Butlins man I think I have ever. He was like Blackpool. It was bad. It was really bad. But it was good. It was a fun event. But I didn't know anyone there other than sort of the Alex from GAK who I'd gone up with. So in order to to be easier for me to meet people, I decided to drink 4 Pimms, couple of mojitos, 5 Jaeger bombs, and X amount of ciders.
Work paid you for this time, I take it?
Yes, I was fully paid for. You know, they and also Yamaha paid for me to be there, paid for the hotel and everything.
We should not go down this rabbit hole. I feel
no,
it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, that's
right. Good to know that Yamaha. You know, obviously we went to see some of the new bass stuff and some of the new guitar stuff. It's good to hear that they're doing stuff for their pianos as well. I'd imagine that's where probably most of their money comes from, or most of their sales.
Yeah,
imagine that's if you're selling a grand piano, the mid-range one is $2,500 or something.
They were actually talking about the their keyboard, their sort of the crappy sort of basic keyboard that they were showing us, is they sell as a company, not Yamaha Classic, as a company.
Are you allowed to give this information away?
More of those than, yeah, of course, that's not.
Okay.
That's not, but as a company, they sell more of those units than any other single thing.
Oh, wow.
So it is their absolute best-selling thing.
Talking about things that are incredibly good value for money, that's not quite what we're talking about, but it's good enough for a segue. I actually went into GAC at the weekend because I thought, I've not been into a guitar shop for a while, and I was in town and like I've been stuck in all day. The weather was a bit rubbish, and I was like, right, I'm going to go into town and just have a bit of a potter and go into GAC and like check some stuff out. So went and tried some stuff, which is very, very rare. And to be honest, the only thing that really stood out, obviously, you know, there's a lot of Fender and Gibson stuff in there, which we've all seen, which we'll talk about the newer Gibson stuff shortly. The thing that really stood out on this trip was I finally got around to trying the Shergold stuff, which I hadn't tried before. I know you guys have because you've shot a video for them.
Yeah.
But I can't believe how good value they are.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Solid rosewood neck, nitro finish, Duncan pickups. And I think the cheapest one at GAC at the moment is £699.
Yeah, that's right.
It's insane.
Even the inlays. Matt, you were talking about the inlays when we did the video. They are their hand fitted aluminium line inlays. They're so interesting. It's unbelievable, the neck quality.
They're just really nice, different guitars.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice to have that kind of Patrick Eggle kind of thing behind it, you know, same as the Reverend, same as the kind of the Face, which they obviously also do, that it's been built and then shipped over here and then checked again.
Yeah.
You know, and you just know you're going to get quality like straight out of the box, basically.
Yeah.
You know, like two people have looked at it and it's been built in a really, really good factory.
I really got that Reverend vibe from it, like something that's obviously, you know, built in the Far East somewhere, but when it's shipped here or to the States or wherever it ends up, the setup is just incredible, like so good straight out of the box. And I assume that, you know, from my what I remember from GAC is, you know, unless something really needs a tweak, it comes out of the box, gets checked over again, and then goes on the wall. It doesn't undergo a full setup with every guitar. That'd be impossible for the amount of guitars they've got. So for something that's, you know, just been checked at the shop and set up, you know, at the distributor or the manufacturer, it was incredible.
They might be the best value things at the moment.
Completely.
I'm not especially into the body shape personally.
That is my only thing about them, is I don't really like the body shape. But everything else, you know, a solid rosewood neck for £700 is
the pickup
ridiculous.
Configurations are great as well.
Yep.
The bridges are great. You know, the bridges are custom built just for those guitars.
The bridge pickup surround and the bridge plate are all one piece, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It looks really classy, like really nice touch.
Yeah.
Do you know when your demo video is going to go live?
Soon, couple of weeks.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you know.
I could do it as the next one if you want.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, like, you know, they've been out for a little while. Maybe we should get the demo up and running. But yeah, I was really blown away by kind of how good value they are. When you consider some of the other guitars that are creeping up well over that value.
Well, at the £600 mark, you know, you're competing, you're looking at Mexican Fenders, which aren't very good. And
they're fine, and Mexican Telly's still
they're
good.
They're not good.
And, Baja Telly?
Well, that's like a grand now, mate.
Not a grand.
That's how Fender
priced
that.
Grand. They're like £800 or something.
Yeah, nine. And like Epiphone, £900, you know, is kind of creeping up into that price point. So to have something as unique as those Shergolds for that price point, I think is remarkable.
Yeah.
And actually, listeners, if you do get a chance, if there is a shop near you with Shergolds, go and try them out. I think everyone will agree that the body shape is a bit Marmite, but finishes, pickups, build quality, and just the neck is, you know, there's nothing like it at the moment.
Yeah, it's such a shame that the body doesn't. It is very much Marmite. I think if you're into it, you'll be really into it. If you're not into it, you'll never play one of those guitars. But just the value is ridiculous. Some fantastic, fantastic stuff. Saw a few other bits and pieces. Saw some of the 17 Gibsons that I'd not even seen in the flesh.
They've been trickling through 2017 over the last year. So even sort of some models, and they kept doing like short runs.
Yep.
And for the 2017 series, so some of it has only just appeared in UK shops.
Yeah. And checked out a load of PRS stuff. I didn't realise quite how expensive they were now for the top. Like USA ones. I mean, obviously, they've always been an expensive guitar, but, you know, the single cut stuff is £4,000-ish, which is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but there is some super cool stuff at the low end. Like, the SEs have never been as good as
they
are now.
Definitely.
And, you know, we spoke about them loads on the podcast when they came out, but the Exotic series,
for
such a broad range of guitars that, again, was like £750, I think. Yeah, remarkable.
Really nice, really nice. So pretty soon the shop will be filled with brand new guitars from Gibson, the 2018 range.
Wait.
So that has happened this week, and therefore we'll now go into
Newts.
So 2018 Gibsons.
2018 Gibsons. I love that Gibson do this every year. It gives us fodder.
It does. I mean, for the kind of press cycle, it's fantastic because, you know, how many articles have you seen this week about the 2018 Gibsons? For shops, I'd imagine it's a little more troubling because there's a whole new fresh batch of guitars to deal with.
And kind of unlike 2015, where I think because the 2015s were so unsuccessful, when 2016 came out, it was a replacement for.
Yeah.
But because 2016 was so kind of good, and so shops kept getting in 2016s and 2017 as well. Like,
you still got some.
We still have a shop full of 2016 and 2017. So this a whole new load of 2018s, and loads of 2018s are really good.
That's what
we're
going to
want to get
about.
Them in as well. So we're basically going to be a Gibson only shop soon.
So what
they're
I thought
really giving their product like any sort of life. Do you know what I mean? It's almost
You get the model year, and that's kind of it.
Their life cycle is just incredibly short, which I just find really odd.
Well, it does just mean that if there's one that you like, you kind of have to jump on it, really. And I think in this, we'll talk about the range in depth, but I think overall we can kind of agree that this is a huge step forward for Gibson. Fewer models, but the ones that they are doing, I think, are spot on pretty much across the board. So what I thought we'd do, Matt, if you want to run down the models and then we can kind of talk about each one of them. Should we start from the cheapest Les Paul, I think makes sense.
It is probably worth talking about the overview of what has changed.
Okay, let's do that first then. So do you want to give us that joke you've got in front of you?
Well, just the 2018 collection is going to be Les Pauls, SGs, Firebirds, Flying Vs, and Explorers.
Yep.
But only the Les Paul standard and the SG standards are going to be available now in traditional and high performance.
Ah, okay.
So some are going to be either or. The other really cool overall feature is that they are making good on what I think was an error that they've been making over the last few years. They are announcing left-handed models in virtually every single guitar, which is fantastic news for lefty players. And we're seeing a bit of a return of robot tuners on a couple of models.
Oh, really? Not just, surely just on the HPs, right? On the high performance.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's the same as last year.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Were they still on them?
Robot tuners only on high performance.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. And no basses.
No. Well, I mean, who needs them, really?
Which is mental.
Surely the 20 shops will have enough 2016 and 2017 basses to carry them through, though.
No shops have anything. The only things everyone has now are the EBs, the new shape EBs.
Yeah.
Well, not new shape, the 2017 shape EBs in 4 and 5 string, because that now we're a year on and about to be 2 years on since a Thunderbird was made.
Yeah.
And since an SG bass was made.
I wonder if their plan is to just kind of separate the basses and just do that new EB shape so they've carried that on from 2017.
I guess so.
Maybe is the plan. So let's do a quick rundown, because I think people will be keen to hear our thoughts on each of them. So Matt, let's start from the lowest priced Les Paul.
Okay, yeah. So Les Paul's only. So we start off still in the range, the Faded.
Okay.
Everyone's favourite, because I mean, I had the Faded SG, well, I still have got it, and I think they're amazing guitars for the money. 799, so I think that's about £150 up from last year. But hardware basically seems like the same model, except they're saying weight relief now is ultra modern, which seems like a change to me. So I don't know what that actually includes.
No, I don't know
what's the point. What it doesn't include in terms of inside.
Yeah,
the body.
How much is taken away? I assume that's the most amount of weight relief.
Yes, I think so.
Because they're coupling that with a slim tapered neck as well. So I think this is going to really be quite a modern take on the Les Paul.
Well, generally with the cheaper ones, they use a younger mahogany, so it's generally denser and it weighs more.
Right.
So they tend to relief those more because they'll be heavier otherwise. They've kind of frets that are going a standard on everything are the like frozen frets, the cryogenically treated frets.
Yep.
I can't say one way or the other whether really make a difference, but you seem to be seeing it a lot, not just on Gibsons, but a lot of other brands seem to be doing a similar thing. And comes in two finishes, like a worn cherry and I think they actually call it worn. Well, they call it worn bourbon.
Nice. That looks great, actually. Yeah, both of those look really good. And I guess if you were looking for a starting point, as we've talked about, £700, you know, that's almost kind of in Epiphone territory these days.
These are great. Yeah. I think these are one of the best value. I'm sure. I can't remember exactly, but I think a while ago, Moo Gravit podcast listener was talking about getting one of the warm bourbon ones. I think I could be remembering wrong.
Nice.
But that is probably the best value. Well, that is the best value.
We didn't say what pickups are in there. Are they the 490s?
No, the 490s, which...
They're the PAF-inspired ones, aren't
they?
Yeah.
They're kind of a Marmite thing, I think, for most people. Some people love them, some people hate them. To me, they're always a little bit too bright, but I think when you're spending that sort of money, you've got options.
Yeah.
I think you've got plenty of options down the line to have a great guitar. I think the thing about the Fadeds more than anything is they wear in quicker.
Yeah.
So they kind of buff up and they kind of feel slicker, like much quicker to the player, just because of that really, really thin nitro lacquer.
Definitely. So what's next?
So next you go on to the Les Paul Tribute, which is a model they did do last year, I think.
They did, indeed.
Same again. These ones are covered humbuckers, 490 and 498, so slightly different bridge pickup. And these come in much more kind of like vintage-inspired satin top finishes. So it's like a satin gold top.
Faded honey.
They finally make
and
sense.
Faded honey, yeah.
The term tribute finally makes sense, because you see a lot of Gibson and Epiphone guitars that have tribute in the name. And you kind of think, well, what is this actually a tribute to? Whereas this is obviously, you know, a cheap way of getting you know, a nice burst Les Paul, or a cheap way of getting, you know, a nice gold top Les Paul.
Yeah, it's like having a 58 plain top or a 57 gold top in a much more affordable option. And actually, if it was me, for the extra 50 quid, I'd have the gold top. I think those gold tops great.
Oh, it looks incredible.
I think they look great. I think this is an excellent move. I've seen like a little bit of kickback on the prices on some of these.
How much are they? Yeah. How much are the tributes?
Those ones are 849.
Not on these ones specifically, but on the range. But I'm like, when they're putting out things like the tribute at 850 quid, come on, show me a Fender or anyone else putting out a guitar that looks that good for that sort of price.
That is true. They are very good. I think the low end stuff, they're kind of knocking out of the park. What are you saying, Matty?
I was going to say, I had a few thoughts on prices, but I thought we'd leave it till we got to some of the more expensive stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So that's the tributes. I think, actually, they're kind of one of the standouts of the range. But the next guitar, I think we need to talk about in a serious way.
The studio,
indeed.
The studio.
So what's going on with the studio?
Two colours this year.
Yep.
Basically...
But they're the best colours.
Yeah, Vintage Sunburst and Smokehouse Burst.
Smokehouse Burst might be the coolest looking finish Gibson have ever done ever.
I'm gonna throw it out there. This is the best. These two are the best ever looking Les Paul Studio.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Smokehouse looks absolutely fantastic. The picture they've got out, I just think looks absolutely great. No, like poker chip pickup ring either, which I think is really nice because you get a little bit more of the top. And I reckon if you take the scratch plate off as well, I just think it's a great guitar.
Worth mentioning as well, changes from pretty much any Les Paul studio ever: bound neck and trapezoid inlays. No dot inlays.
And 57 classic pickups as well, with the push pulls as well.
I'm really, really curious to get my hands on one of these and see, you know, just check the finish and stuff, because this looks like incredible value. Obviously, there's no maple top on there, right? That's just the mahogany.
I would actually.
On those, it'll be a plain maple cap. Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, the value that you're getting from this, you know, people again always bang on about Gibson, but what are these? Just over a grand? $10.99?
$12.99. Okay. So they have gone up about £150 to £200 since the last one.
Okay, so yes, they're getting towards, you know, an expensive guitar, but
well, they're only as much as a Fender Strat now, I guess.
That's
right?
True. That's American true. That is true. Yeah.
So, and this is kind of the equivalent of an American Standard.
Professional.
Yeah.
I'm very, very curious. Out of all the range, I think the tributes and these new studios are the ones that kind of have piqued my interest. When I first saw the studio, I was like, oh, that's an interesting take on the Les Paul Standard. You know, something they're doing something a bit different. And I was like, oh, it's a studio. That's kind of cool. You know, because for years, studios have either been in colours that I find hideously offensive. Or they've just been, it's a Les Paul studio. There's nothing, you know. It's...
This coupled with the push-pull pots.
Well, totally.
And it's the ultra-modern weight relief again on this one as well. I think this is an absolute, this is the workhorse.
Yeah, I'm kind of keen to give one of these a go. I think they look good and the spec is really good now. So, okay, so they're coming in at $12.99. What's next in the range?
Well, next in the range is my personal favourite of the whole lineup, which is the Les Paul Classic.
Oh yeah,
they've done the Classic for a long time, but now the Les Paul Classics have P90s.
They do,
and they come in three awesome colours. So you get gold top with like the natural back, black, which is all black, and then Pelham blue with a natural back.
Oh my
god,
they
look absolutely brilliant. That
Pelham blue
and that black look absolutely amazing.
I completely forgot about these.
With the natural back and sides,
these are the best one. Actually, thinking about it, like when we were going back through, I was like, oh, the tribute's definitely the best one. Oh no, the Les Paul Studio's the best one. Well, these are the best one. This is my pick. This is my pick for best one.
The great thing about this is it's no weight relief, so it's like a full solid Les Paul, like two P90s, especially if you're after like a 54 custom sort of vibe.
Yep.
Now going for the black model's like absolutely perfect. $16.99 mahogany body, plain maple top, like all bound. That is just a great guitar.
It doesn't absolutely seem like ridiculous money either. Like when you look at like that black one, they just seem right. They just, you know, those colours that they picked are fantastic. Yeah. again, you know, I haven't seen one in the flesh, so I need to check the build and how they play and stuff like that. But they look great. And
that Pelham Blue one is just absolutely $16.99.
You know, it's obviously it's a lot of money, but for the kind of guitar that you're getting, I don't think it's ridiculous.
No. No, not at all. Not at all. These are absolutely cracking guitars. I think this is shaping up to be potentially Gibson's best year in
for a long time.
The last
thing is,
half a decade.
If it's that good, I'm just saying now, they should stick with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just stick with it.
Keep this.
When you find that, well, that's what they did in, like, what, 2002? You know, they kind of had a winning formula and it worked and they just kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's the plan. You know, maybe they've not kind of hit the right notes, as it were, for the last few years, yeah. Which is why they keep changing. Any indication on what these pickups are?
I just say P90.
Okay.
So I reckon they're just Gibson-made P90s.
Okay, interesting. So no weight relief, still all the binding, trapezoid inlays. It's just a proper Les Paul with P90s, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, which then perfectly leads on to the next model, which is the traditional. So yeah. You kind of don't want the plain top, you want the humbuckers and you want the kind of, you know, the traditional Les Paul. These are great. I think these are $19.99, so not much more than they have been for the last couple of years. Burst buckers in the BB1 and the BB2 in both. AA figured top, kind of all the classic colours. That's just a cool guitar. Like if you want basically a custom shop, you don't want to pay the kind of custom shop money. And it's a great guitar.
Yeah, again, you know, it kind of does what it says, really. It's the traditional. It's,
yeah.
You know, go if you just want a kind of basic Les Paul that is the iconic Les Paul, you can get one for less than $2,000. And like you say, burst buckers, yeah, it's... I think they're kind of, the range kind of makes sense this year, which I think it hasn't done in the last few years. You know, the steps of...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
The pricing is kind of, it makes sense where everything sits in the range. This is, you know, the traditional has kind of become for us and probably for the majority of our listeners, that's kind of the standard Les Paul. And then obviously I assume we're going to jump to the standard next, Matt.
Yeah. So there's nothing else in the range. And this is where it splits slightly because now, where before you could get a traditional high performance or a traditional, they kind of scrapped that and gone, actually, right, okay, the standard, you get the standard model and then you get the high performance version.
Yeah.
So the standard model gives you all of the upgrades, but still keeping a more traditional kind of look and feel. So you get the AAA top, you get the ultra modern weight relief, you get the slim taper neck, you've got the Burstbucker Pros, and you've got the two volume, two tone, and then you've got the push pull on everything as well.
Yeah.
So you've got all the kind of switching options, but you haven't got all the kind of extra high performance options. And they come in at $2,499, which I think is about, once again, I think it's about £150 up from
last year. Okay.
So that comes in, I think that was four colors in total. So you've got Cobalt Burst, which is like a kind of electric blue, Heritage Cherry, Mojave Burst, which is kind of,
it's like a lemon burst,
yeah, which actually I think looks really, really nice. Unfortunately, a lot, some of the pictures I've seen, that the way the light hits it, the tops look too split.
Yeah.
So you've got like a light half and like a dark half. And then you've also got it in blood orange burst,
which looks cool.
I kind of like that. Blood orange, kind of, you go, oh, what's it going to look like? And actually, when you see it, like, that's actually a cool color with a AAA top. I think that'd look really, really nice.
Yeah.
Once again, it's one of those ones you want to see, but I'm sure it'll be a cool looking guitar. And then, yeah, so you go into high performance. So they've kind of made a few changes, and yeah, basically you're getting a higher spec Les Paul standard with those same features, but you're getting extra. So you're getting the Les Paul Access neck join, which is that kind of carved, if you haven't played an Access before, it basically carves the whole heel out and then goes into the kind of upper part of the body. Increased G-force tuning system, because I didn't work in a store last year. I can't even remember how improved last year's models were. So I don't even know how quick they are compared to 2016.
I didn't see a single high-performance model on store shelves.
You would have been wrong. All the Firebirds we had were high-performance.
No, yeah, but I didn't look at those.
I think stores had more of a choice on what they could order, and I think more people went, oh no, people have had enough of the G-force tuning system, and kind of, and there were so many options. It's like, not many people are going to order a traditional high spec.
Yeah,
so like,
sure,
I don't want a traditional with all that high performance stuff, because then it's not really a traditional Les Paul.
The problem that we have actually with putting anything with G-force on the shelf is that you can't put it on the shelf because
it doesn't fit on your hangers. I think that kind of speaks to what I'm saying about the range, is that it makes way more sense this year. Matt, in fact, I'll talk about this in a minute. Just finish off the spec of the high performance.
So you get the zero fret nut, which is what they've done before, so you can adjust how much of the zero fret you actually want, so it makes for an easier setup. And they've changed that from brass to titanium. A lot of people complained that the brass was just too soft and it was causing problems. Asymmetrical neck, which they've had for ages, which obviously rolls off on the treble side slightly more. There's like a belly cut as well. And then the biggest look change is the rear-mounted pickups.
Yeah.
So no pickup ring.
Yeah, this is weird. So I'd be curious to see the back of the guitar, basically. Because if the only kind of cavity in there is the standard Les Paul one, that must mean that they've either... Well, I don't know how they're going to do it. The rest of the guitar must be incredibly hollow if that's the case, and they will have to...
Well,
go on.
I'm guessing with the weight relief, if I remember from kind of some of the other modern weight reliefs, it's basically, they are basically hollow guitars.
Yeah.
But you just maintain a lot of the core tone wood underneath the block, underneath the bridge, because that's where all the sustain is.
Unless
so
they...
You tend to find everything else is kind of pretty hollow.
Unless
but it's not... It's a carved top, though,
yeah,
so...
I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out how they're doing it. Curious to see them...
We haven't talked about the coolest thing about the
colours.
Series. Yeah.
The colours are completely different, aren't they, from the standard...
They come in cobalt fade,
right.
Heritage cherry fade, Mojave fade, blood orange fade,
and
of course, hot pink fade.
Yes. Hot pink
Someone
fade.
Just went, gotta stick that in there.
Yeah, definitely. They've been listening to the podcast, obviously.
It's the fade fades out at the bottom. So the burst itself doesn't start until like just above the kind of...
The
bridge pickup tone control.
Yeah, like the widest point of the guitar is where.
Yeah.
So if you imagine a sunburst that, you know, from the neck joint of the guitar goes round and then sort of fades out by the bridge, basically.
Yeah.
I'm on some of the colours, and I know what people will say. People will say, oh, Gibson are doing, you know, they're charging more for a guitar where it's only half finished. And actually, I think on some of the colours, it looks way better than if they'd done a full sunburst.
Yeah.
Like the whatever the blood orange is, or maybe it's whatever that kind of bright orange and yellow sunburst, which not the blood orange, that'll be... I don't know what colour that is from the list. The Heritage Cherry. It's just the Heritage Cherry one. Looks absolutely incredible, the Heritage Cherry fade. Yeah, I think it's a brave choice because people will have a go at them about like not finishing it properly, but I think it looks really good. I think I'm really into it.
I think the thing that most people are probably, you know, as Joe mentioned, the thing that most people are commenting on at the moment is that particular model is $2,999.
Easy.
Which is expensive, but it's kind of funny, really, because I was thinking, like, it is expensive to us. Do we perceive it as more expensive because we're involved so much more in guitars? Because, you know, we all spent a long time in guitar stores, and obviously I spent a long time on the sales floor only up until, you know, sort of a year ago. And you get a lot of new customers come in who had never played guitar before but had a bit more money. You're just like, I want the best guitar I can buy. You know, and they've not necessarily got any kind of like, oh, well, you know, Gibson put their price up. They're like, I want a Gibson Les Paul Standard.
Yeah.
You know, people just walk in. It's kind of like, that's how much it is. And when I bought my first expensive guitar, when I bought American Standard Strat, I think I paid, I don't know, probably $10.99 or $11.99, which is probably like the top price point at that point. But I was like, I want an American Standard Strat.
Yeah.
So I just paid the price because that was
I think was so just give us the pricing on both of them, because I don't think you actually said how much a standard is. And
so
then
the standard is $2,499.
Okay.
And then the high performance version is $2,999.
See, it depends on how they're mounting those pickups, but I can kind of see how they're justifying it, because I'd imagine that those rear inserted pickups do take a lot longer to do. Again, I'll need to see how it's done. But I think with the standard, and Gibson have kind of said this themselves, they're almost making a statement, you know, and that's kind of why it's an expensive guitar. If you just want a great Les Paul that isn't, you know, in edging towards that kind of unaffordable money, you know, look at the classic or the traditional. You know, that is what is now the standard Les Paul, and you've got your option of P90s or humbuckers.
I think as well now, people are like, oh, well, you know, it's PRS money. And it's like, well, yeah, PRS have always been that money. But I think PRS probably make the same amount of guitars a day out of their factory that Gibson probably make out of theirs.
Yeah.
In terms of those high spec models. So yeah. I can kind of see, you know, yeah, they sort of should be that sort of money.
The way that I'm kind of viewing it, and I'm glad they've kind of rearranged the range, and we'll talk about all the other guitars because there are obviously a whole load of SGs and some pointy stuff actually this year. But the Les Pauls, I think, make the most sense to talk about it in this way. What I like about it is the range makes sense. If you are someone who's, you know, at the top of the Epiphone range budget-wise, but you think you can spend a bit more, Gibson have got some options for you. You know, you've got the Faded and the Tributes, and you're still getting a great Les Paul. It's completely gig-worthy, really, you know, good spec, but obviously, you know, it's a thinner finish, and they'll, you know, they've got the weight relief and stuff like that. If you want to start getting into a fancier looking guitar, they've got the Studio, which is, you know, it's $12.99, which is a lot of money, but it's only up there with American Professional stuff.
Yeah.
That seems to be sitting at the right price point, you know, like production line made guitars, you know, that are kind of, you know, they're good American built guitars, but they're not getting into the upper stuff. And then you start getting into, you know, the classic and traditional, which are expensive guitars, like a Les Paul kind of should be. A Les Paul should be an expensive guitar. And then the standard, I think, is, you know, Gibson's production line flagship. Again, that's going to be a lot of money, and that's not a guitar for probably any of us, even. You know, it's for people who have got a lot of money and want to buy the flagship guitar. Obviously, beyond that, there's the custom shop as well, with, you know, stuff for collectors, stuff for people with ridiculous money.
The custom shop's changed recently as well, so now everything that's coming out of the custom shop is limited run.
Yeah.
So you're not getting, like, standard custom shop models now.
It's for collectors.
It's sort of changing around that as well.
It's for guitar collectors. If you just want a great Les Paul for, you know, if you want an expensive Les Paul, then get a traditional or a classic. There'll still be great guitars. Again, I haven't played this year's ones yet, so I can't comment on the feel or the sound, but the kind of this ethos of what Gibson are doing and where they're pricing these guitars, kind of forget about the standard. It's not for you. The standard is for people who want to buy the Gibson flagship.
I agree. It's a naming error more than anything, or confusion about the way.
Kind of, but then also, you know, the standard has for a long time been the flagship guitar. Mm. So, and it's where they've, you know, pushed new technology and stuff like that. So I don't think it's particularly difficult to understand, you know, unless I'm missing something.
No.
The Les Paul standard is not for your average guitar player anymore.
I think you're totally right. I think the traditional is your standard. I want a Jimmy Page Les Paul.
Yeah.
You know, and then someone is like, I want the I'm trying to think of like an equivalent, but I want the best thing in my field. Well, you go for a Les Paul Standard.
Yeah, definitely. And then beyond
if you're
that...
buying another guitar, if you've got the best Fender and you go, I want the best Les Paul, you kind of, but I just want more of a traditional thing. Well, that's where the traditional is. And I think you're right, Joe. It's almost like a naming problem.
Yeah, definitely.
In one way.
Definitely. And they kind of almost used to do this when you had things like the Supreme and before that, the Class 5.
And the Elegant as well, which I think was the very
completely
first.
They were not product, they were not custom shop guitars. Maybe the Class 5 was, but the Elegant and the Supreme weren't. They were like the flagship Les Paul, and they were silly money. No one would ever buy them. And the Standard used to be the equivalent of where the traditional sits now, roughly price range with those guitars. They've just changed the naming stuff. So yeah, the Standard is not for. I would not go as far as to say it's not for gigging musicians, but it's also, it's the flagship model.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Your fancy Les Paul. So
I think seeing all of them, I think the Tribute is the one. Like,
oh man, those know, P90 ones.
Oh,
though.
I know they were great, but I just meant like, this is less than £900.
Yeah, of course.
A guitar that looks like this, has this sort of spec. And,
yeah.
And there are, you know, PRS aren't doing this for this price. Fender aren't achieving it for this price. I think Gibson are
American built guitars, basically.
Yeah. American built guitars that are traditional, that aren't, you know, sure they'll occasionally be sort of an affordable American Fender, or you know, PRS aren't really doing that sort of thing, but it would never be something that follows this traditional tact like that.
Yeah.
It would always be something weird or kooky.
That
you can buy a traditional looking American made Les Paul for less than £900. I mean, I don't know. I don't think people have anything to complain about this year. This is a great range.
I think, obviously, Gibson have had some slightly bizarre years, talking about 2015s and stuff like that. But I think they really have turned it around. Let's talk about some SGs, because SGs follow a similar pattern from what I understand.
That's right.
Joe, you've actually got them. Or no, in fact, Matt, you've probably got them up there in price order. Let's go through them.
Do you want to go? Well, should we start at the top and work our way down?
Let's start at the cheapest and go up. I think
start
that works
cheapest.
Best. Yeah.
Okay, so you start off at the Faded, still in the range, still one of the best guitars I think you can possibly buy. $799. Basically, a brilliant guitar for the money.
Just they've never changed,
just,
really, have they?
You know, I've had one now for, I think mine's 2008 or 2007, so it's coming up for its like 10th year, and it's just been brilliant. It's worked every day. It's just a perfect playing guitar. You know, you've got that classic slim SG neck on it, all mahogany, no binding, sort of no thrills. It's just a great guitar.
And it was probably
in bourbon.
It was probably what, £600 when you got it, something like that, on the card.
I think they were 549 or 599, I think, at the time. And bear in mind, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah,
so,
completely.
You know, they haven't really changed.
No, I think they've kept
much.
The price down on these.
Just the ultimate workhorse, basically.
They've gone down to one finish now. There were sort of, previously there had been some options, but they've kept the best one, that sort of that chocolate, that
warm brown.
Yeah, because the cherry always looked a bit cheap.
Yeah, that's right, definitely.
So what's the next one up?
The next one up, and this is a guitar personally I'm not a fan of, but I know some people do like that. It's the SG Special, which is effectively the similar guitar, but you've got the kind of the mini humbuckers.
Yeah, this is a weird choice for me, because it's like, if you're going to do
it... It's a real 70s vibe.
Yeah.
The 70s SGs don't necessarily go down very well with some people.
So if you're gonna call a guitar the SG Special, why would you go for the 70s SG Special and not like a nice 60s one with a P90?
I'm amazed they just haven't gone, yeah, we'll do a 60s one with P90, or we'll do like an SG Junior again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because they did that before a few years ago, and it was such an amazing guitar.
Oh, totally. Yeah, they've gone for that kind of really narrow neck with the square, like, block inlays, two mini humbuckers. It is a 70s SG Special, and in general, they're pretty rubbish. Like,
yeah,
that original guitar.
That's an odd choice.
Definitely.
I think they definitely could have done a P90 Les Paul SG or something like that.
Oh,
and
definitely. What's the price point on those?
They are $849.
Okay. Okay.
So the same as the Tribute.
Yeah. Okay, what's next up?
So next, we go straight into the Standards.
Oh, really? Wow, okay.
Yep. So it splits again. So you've got SG Standard, and then you've got SG Standard High Performance. But the color choices are completely different. Wow. So the traditional is Autumn Shade, Ebony, and Heritage Cherry.
All look great.
Yep. I mean, that's the classic not too. I remember when I first started working at GAC and the SGs in Cherry were like the wrong color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were basically like post-box red, like totally the wrong color. These are like the proper sort of like AC/DC sort of, you know, cherry red.
Yep.
Ebony, obviously, as you'd expect. And then Autumn, what do they call it?
Autumn Sorry, Fade?
Autumn Fade, which is that kind of
sunburst.
Yeah, which I think looks really nice.
Yeah, that's one they've done for a while. It used to just be called, so in the range they had Heritage Burst and Heritage Cherry, Heritage Burst was basically that colour. That's one they've brought back from a little while ago with a different name, basically.
And then the pickups are Gibson 61s,
cool.
Which I think are a new pickup for them. Slightly revoiced, I'd imagine, to kind of capture the essence of the kind of original.
They've been out for a while. Do you know, didn't they first appear on the Les Paul piece? That had 61s in it, I believe.
61s? Yeah. That was a weird guitar.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. We'll talk about that in a minute when we do a little roundup, but I was thinking about that guitar and I'll tell you why. But if you let us know.
There's nothing like an instrument with a hide glue neck joined to symbolise peace, really.
So tell us about the high performance.
So high performance, you get the Access neck join, you get the G-Force tuning system, the zero fret nut, and once again, the rear mounted pickups. They come in the same high performance colours as the Les Paul. So Cobalt, Mojave, Blood Orange, and Hot Pink Fade.
Hot Pink.
And that Hot Pink SG is one ridiculous looking guitar.
Yeah, that's great.
So good.
It reminds me of the SG Goddess.
Yeah.
Do you remember that guitar?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of into it. I kind of love it and I kind of hate it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
Not crazy money, $16,999.
Really?
Oh, wow, okay. That's impressive. I wonder on those how they're doing those rear-mounted pickups, because obviously there is not normally a hollow part of SG.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be interesting. I'm really keen to see what the build on those is like.
I really hope there's not like two ugly holes, just like straight.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. We will we'll see. So the other,
that can't be a money-saving thing, can it? So
no. If anything, it'd be more expensive. But I'm curious to see how they've pulled it off on the SGs. So let's talk, because we're getting close to an hour. Let's talk about the a welcome addition to the range. They didn't do these in 2017, right? They didn't do any pointy stuff. Or did they?
Do you have Firebirds?
There was some point. There was pointy stuff. There was Explorers. Was there Explorers in 2017?
I think that maybe there was, actually. Now we're talking about it.
There were 2016 Explorers and Vs, but they've always kind of been like... I don't think they've done it in the Carina for a while, though. I might be wrong.
Maybe there was just a black one, maybe. I can't remember. But so anyway, give us a rundown on the pointies. What we got?
Right, so let's go back, because I've clicked the wrong button. Okay, so you've got in the kind of what they call the offset shapes, we've got a Firebird, two Firebirds, a Flying V, and an Explorer. So the Firebirds come in the standard Firebird in Ebony, which is just a great looking guitar. For one of those guitars, I'm always like, I really want one. But then when I play one, I'm like, this isn't practical enough for me to have as like a normal everyday guitar. But just an awesome, awesome guitar with the slim taper neck on it. Granadillo fingerboard, which I think is that kind of... I can't remember if that's another one of those wood substitutes or not.
I think that's actual wood, isn't it? I think actual wood. Granadillo is. I can't remember, but...
And then going down from that, you get the studio version, which has got the kind of 2P90s, which I think is a kind of... That's a rocking looking guitar, that.
It's weird. I noticed one thing that's weird is that they're both the reverse body shape, but they've got reverse and non-reverse headstocks.
Yeah. It's just like...
a bit weird. Okay.
So, I reckon someone got confused.
Yeah, yeah. Granadillo is a wood by the looks of things. Is that right, Joe? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a South African wood.
There we go.
And then, you go into Explorer and Flying V. The Explorer does look very cool.
Yeah.
Super
classic.
Just that really, really classic looking guitar. You sort of forget that those guitars came out in like the late 50s.
1958.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that one, I mean, it looks about as kind of close to that as you could get, really. It's Carina body, black pickup surrounds, white guard, just looks super cool.
I
mean, yeah.
I think it's nice they've gone for that rather than going, let's do a metal guitar.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, let's do something a lot more classic.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Flying V as well, which is in the Aged Cherry. Once again, just really classy looking. You know, it's just, if someone who wants a classic looking Flying V, $1,199.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't really go wrong.
How much is the Explorer?
The Explorer is, I think, the same price.
You would hope so, but...
Yep, $1,199.
So, just as a quick roundup, and I think I'm glad we got a mention of the Les Paul piece in, because it does speak to what Gibson have done in the last 3 years, I guess. So the piece, as far as I can remember, was a 2015 guitar, maybe a 2014 guitar.
I think it might be 2014.
Yeah, so think about where we were.
2014.
Think where we were at in 2014. Les Paul piece, we had 70s Futura tributes or something ridiculous like that, which had like mini Sidewinder pickups and all this kind of ridiculous stuff. I think that has kind of spiraled out of control, really, until this year. You know, if you were going to...
In fact, I was just going to see if I can pull up the 2014 product catalogue. Oh, just the first image, I'm like, oh, God, what were you thinking? Because it was the 120th anniversary,
it
so
was.
They had
that
horrible logo.
That's right. They had a little scroll thing on the 12th fret, didn't they, that said 120 years.
See, so the first picture is... that actually these ones were those ones traditional pro or something similar that didn't have the second tone control but they had the extra boost switch.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
Just you had the Futura even... which had the P90 and the humbucker.
Yeah.
The weird looking SGs with like the cream pickups.
Yeah.
LPJ though, which was a cool guitar.
Yeah, that was good.
Was probably the standard.
Oh, they've always had good stuff in the range. It was just beset with a lot of rubbish. I mean, even if you look at last year, the product catalog in 2017 was so massive that dealers were having to choose things not to stock because it was just too much stuff. To
just
keep on the shelf,
put it on the wall. Yeah, I think so. Where we're at and what I think they've done this year is obviously they've slimmed a lot of stuff back, and I think, from the kind of consumer's point of view, just walking into the store, it all makes sense. You know, okay, so I've got between this price and this price to spend. Okay, well, you've got a choice of classic or traditional, or I've got slightly less to spend. Okay, you've got the choice of the tribute or the faded, or the tribute in the studio. You know, you've got very distinctive price points. You've got first Gibson guitar, second Gibson guitar, flagship Gibson guitar, almost, haven't you? You know,
yeah.
And then custom shop craziness up from that, and that makes sense to me. And I also don't think the prices are ridiculous. You know, there's been a lot of, as always, when Gibson kind of talk about new guitars, there's going to be a lot of backlash online about pricing.
Well, just a little thing about pricing. So in 2014, they had the Les Paul Standard Premium,
okay,
which was effectively the high performance version, except it had like a real, like, I think it was like a AAA quilted top, right? The recommended street price on that was $4,400, which was £3,200.
So,
and I'm sure, so that was basically more expensive than what the high performance is. They've pretty much stayed around the same sort of price.
Yeah.
I think it's just people forget, and then Gibson just seemed to be the target of just online bullying to some sense. And I know that they've obviously not had a great history, and obviously there's been loads about their finances recently in the news, but like you say, I think the main thing about this year is that everything kind of makes way more sense. I mean, for anyone who's got a computer now, if you go and look on Gibson's website, the 24 lineup, and compare it to what we've just spoke about, you're like, if you saw those on the wall, you'd be like, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
None of these guitars make any sense.
Why did the Gibson Les Paul piece ever exist? Yeah,
It was $2,779.
And it was a Les Paul standard with a tailpiece that said peace across it. Yeah. And
things had little
peace on the knobs.
Just madness. And I honestly, I don't think you can... I don't think it's fair this year to give Gibson the amount of kind of flack that they're already getting, like 2 days in from the announcement.
Yeah. The brand people love to hate, that's all.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And I think that you see that with all brands, you know, you see it with Apple and you see it with, you know, any big kind of brand, there's kind of the haters, as it were. But I don't think if you, and bring it back to what you say, Matt, about, you know, someone going into a guitar shop who's not kind of entrenched in this and doesn't necessarily hang out on the forums or the Facebook groups, I don't think going in and getting one of those tributes for the amount of money that they are, I don't think anyone's going to walk away disappointed. I think that they're a fine guitar for that money, if you want a traditional style Les Paul. And we've talked about plenty of other brands that are doing guitar for that money. We only talked about Shergold in this episode. You know, we talked about Reverend. None of those brands are making guitars in America. You know, Gibson are still making these guitars in America, and it's going to be a fine guitar for 750 quid or whatever it is. You know, that's kind of the long and short of it. But interesting to see when they land, and we can kind of get our hands on them and give them a proper review. I guess, JB, you're going to be the first one to see them.
Yeah.
When they land in the store, and whenever, then I'll come down and try them out.
Who knows? Probably won't be for another
6 months or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's nice. That's the way companies do these things now. They announce stuff, and then we don't see it for a bit. We are almost up at time, so we should do. I would just want to do one question actually, because I've got some stuff to explain. So Josh says, we're going into questions.
Oh, question.
Very good. Josh says, has the $5 a month tier increased to $6? Can I blame this on Brexit? So this is Josh talking about Patreon. Obviously, we have a $5 a month tier, which it seems like people who are on the $5 a month are getting charged $6 a month. The reason for that is Patreon are now doing VAT in the UK. So that's what that extra dollar is for. It's annoying. I'm not sure if we can change the tier. We may be able to, but what I'd rather do is give people extra value, and we just need to step up our Patreon game, basically. So, few things are going to happen. Obviously, Matt, how many more podcasts have you got left on the regular podcast?
Let's see. I can't do next week. Probably can do the week after is my last one before I leave.
Okay.
And then I guess I'll probably have a break for a week, maybe two, while I kind of find my feet.
Yep.
And we'll kind of take it from there. So we just need to work out how I'm going to do it. So I think I've got one left.
So one, obviously Matt's off to Japan in a couple of weeks. So you've got one more podcast with us, and then you're going to do basically like a little tour diary of Japan, like a little kind of...
You kind of try and catch up with you once every, I think, 2 weeks, did we say?
Yeah, depending on something like that. One, two or three weeks back on the regular pod. But you're going to try and do what, like a weekly audio diary type thing?
Yeah, I think so. Whether it's got how much guitar content is debatable. But I think one thing will be interesting is that I'll have, you know, I'm so used to having all my stuff at home.
Yeah.
Like actually like stripping down the rig and going back to just a guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's... So one of my challenges is kind of actually like practice. I actually want to sit down and practice because I'm going to have like plenty of time and not a whole lot of gear to mess around with. So, you know, I think it'd be quite interesting to kind of see what it's like to take it all away.
Are you staying in a hotel?
No, I'm staying in an apartment.
Oh, nice. Nice. We haven't even really talked about this. We can do it off air, but that'd be cool. So, yeah, if I guess for Patreon people... There's going to be some guitar content. You'll be talking about like practicing more and stuff, but mainly it's going to be also about like life in Japan and stuff, I guess.
Yeah. I think it'd be quite nice to kind of, you know, for all the people that have maybe followed this podcast for the, 125 episodes now?
This is 126 we're on, yeah.
Yeah. So like 126 episodes. I think it might be quite nice for some people to kind of realize what I do outside of this. And also it would just be an interesting insight into kind of working for a Japanese company and working for Boss in Japan.
What else is happening on the Patreon?
Well, potentially, because we want to kind of fill it with content, we might do some Gear of Yesteryear while you're away, Matty, just for some Patreon stuff to do. But also, I'm kind of toying with the idea of JB, you and me, obviously we're going to do some more Branton's Ranton.
Branton's Ranton Season 2.
Which you have now got stuff for, right? You've got episodes planned.
Oh, yeah,
planned.
I've got some stuff.
Okay, good.
Oh, so people are going to get a hammer in.
Next few weeks, I think we're going to try and record that,
I also
right?
want to do my own mini-series called Brandtoxication.
No, that,
I'm
we're
just going
not
to
doing that.
Drink.
We're not doing that.
And record what happens.
We're not doing that. Brandtoxication is off the table unless loads of people sign up for Patreon off the back of this and say demand they want brand toxication. The other thing that I'm toying with doing, and maybe there'll be an element of brand toxication for this, is I want to do a live call-in show.
This is the worst idea.
So, what I think is it needs a couple of us to basically take questions. And instead of taking questions from the Facebook group, we'll get Patreon people to... There's a service called Discord, which is like kind of like Skype, but you can have multiple people in a channel and you can mute people on and off. So, what I'm thinking is that we have a whole load of people listening live to what we're talking about. We mute everyone in the group, and then when someone wants to ask a question, they type... I would like to ask this question or ask a question, then we just unmute them. And then we
the
get
chances of this just turning into chat roulette.
But that's why we do it on Patreon, because right. I trust our Patreon backers to do it. So I think that's something else that we're going to trial, and I'll put details up on the Facebook group about that pretty shortly. I
Swag.
Think it's going to be fun. If you want to hear all that, by the way, patreon.com/guitarnuts. What? Guitar nuts? that's the new channel. patreon.com/guitarnerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you into our extra content tier, where you will get all the stuff that we just talked about, as well as an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds every week. Joseph's picked up a guitar for some reason.
What?
At $10 a month, you will get your name read out like these people have.
Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joy, Steve, Michael Blair, Tom Scholars, Mitchell, Mark Cross, JD Cordans, Mackenzie, Brad Page, Paul Cogan, Jack Godfrey, Will Claire, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Tossi, Louis Tesmood, Derek Dolin, Anderson.
That's good. That's been here the whole time we've been podcasting at Jay's house. Why have we never done that before?
Yes,
indeed. You sound out of breath. You can join in the fun at facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can ask questions for the podcast. We would normally do more than we've done this week. Every time... you are near. We should wrap this up. Follow us on Twitter at Guitar Nerds, Instagram at Guitar Nerds. You can go to youtube.com/guitar nerds videos, where you will see the video that we're going to talk about in the Patreon this week, the top 5 weirdest guitars of the 1970s.
Swag.
Do head there and watch that, as well as listening to the Patreon episode. Thanks very much, and we will see you next week.
Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.